Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello everyone, this episode of the podcast was brought to you by Audible.com. If you want to download a free audiobook, just go to audibletrial.com/teacherluke or just click on one of the pictures on my website that says Audible. Okay, now let's get started. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello ladies and gentlemen, how are you? I've realised you can't really respond to that unless you write a comment on my website. But as I'm recording this now, sitting here, there's no way for you to get in touch with me unless somehow, maybe you're nearby, maybe you're
Nearby. Hi, I'm doing well.
You're all right? You're doing well?
I'm doing very well, yeah. You asked me how are you, so I'm doing very well.
Okay, good.
I'm the only one that can respond to you.
Anyone who's in the vicinity, basically, whenever you ask that question, how are you, anyone who's within earshot.
There's a French man painting his window down there.
Is there really?
So he could say that he's all right.
Do you want to shout to him?
Bonjour, est-ce que ça va bien?
No response.
No response.
You need to shout it in English. How are you? Any response?
No, I'm not hearing any response from anywhere. So everyone, everyone is too hot. That's what's going on right now. The temperature, as I look at my Apple Watch, is 32 degrees Celsius, which is about a billion degrees Fahrenheit.
32 degrees Celsius is not normal, really, for... Well, it's a little bit normal for Paris in the middle of summer like this, I suppose. Every now and then, the temperature soars to the sort of mid-30s. But it's not that common, is it, really?
I feel like the word soars has a sound of... Like soaring, like soars.
Yes.
I hear a sound effect every time somebody
says... What's the sound effect that you hear when you hear someone say soar?
So that's sort of the noise that the temperature is making as it gets... It's like he soared through the sky.
Yeah.
I'm hearing Superman going...
Yeah,
with
totally,
his cape
yeah.
in the background.
You're hearing Superman going...
Exactly.
He's just standing there, just going...
Yeah. So every time the temperature gets over 30 degrees...
Superman just stands there, goes... Oh, it's hot, isn't it?
The sound effect to the official French weather report.
It's a good point because the word soar, S-O-A-R, is used in... It's used in sort of describing numbers and figures and things, trends, isn't it? You know, sales soared to...
soared through the roof.
Yes.
Is that... No, something...
They go through the roof.
They go through the roof.
It's possible It's possible to go through the roof, meaning to go very high, but also to get very angry. No, to hit the roof and go through the roof is to lose your temper, isn't it?
Well, how would you say... I feel like there's an expression that's something like, oh, the figures that this quarter have
gone through the roof.
Have gone through the roof.
Yeah, I mean that they went up so high that they just, you know, went... They went higher than they've done before.
The figures have soared.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like if it's a shop... The figures from last time have soared.
Yeah.
Like as the money goes in the till at the checkout, it's just going because that's what soaring sounds like.
You can imagine in some sort of shareholders meeting where they're looking at a big graph and a PowerPoint presentation, and the general manager is going, well, you can see here that since we adopted the new marketing campaign, that sales have soared. Sales have quite literally soared, not literally, because that would be weird if sales were literally flying really high in the sky.
Well, and to soar, well, soar is like three different words there as well.
Uh-huh.
For those that don't speak English, it's very confusing because soar, S-O-A-R, is the word we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But there's also a saw to cut somebody's leg off, like to saw,
someone's
like the film.
Off.
Saw when they cut off legs.
Yeah.
So that's saw. And then you've got a saw that you might have on your face, which is like a cold saw.
Yeah.
Like when you've got a little red thing on your face. I don't know why they call it a cold saw. I've never had it when it's cold.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they arrive when it's cold. But saw can be an adjective as well. Like I've got a sore throat.
Sore throat,
for example.
There you go.
That's S-O-R-E. So we've got, I've got a sore throat, S-O-R-E. I'm going to saw your leg off unless you give me the money, which is a commonly occurring phrase that I use on a daily basis.
Yep, and that's S-A-W.
S-S-A-W. And then there's Soar in the Sky, and that's S-O-A-R. Sales soared in the last quarter. And the Eagle soars in the sky. Superman soars in the sky. So to soar means to fly really high. And it's also used to talk about numbers and figures when the numbers go really high as well.
You could have a sentence like, oh, the sales figured soared this year in the department of the soars, even though I had a cold sore while selling the sores.
And then I got SARS.
And then you got SARS. Here's the thing, that's a very UK-only thing, because in America, the pronunciation of the first word, which is the figure's sword, would be the figure's sword.
Sword.
But the film was called Saw.
Right.
I'm going to saw your leg off. So that doesn't work in American English. It only works in British Australian English.
Okay. Well, is that a good or a bad thing?
I don't know. It might be confusing for people who are listening to this who are used to an American accent.
Right.
Although they're not, because you're Luke's English podcast and it's English.
I am Luke's English
podcast.
And
even in your logo, you've got some UK referencing things. So
hell yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
But I mean, sure. That's another word. That's sure. If Sean Connery was involved. Sales soared over the last quarter. Anyway, sure, Paul, sure. Listeners who listen to this podcast may be more familiar with the British English, yeah? But in general, more people seem to be familiar with the American version of this wonderful language.
The vowel sounds are very different in America than they are in the UK. I found it out when I was in the US, and I tried telling somebody my name.
Right.
Which is Paul.
Paul. You were in Starbucks, no?
I was in Starbucks, yeah. I have a photo of a Starbucks cup with my name spelt wrong. Paul is a very English... Well, it's just an English-speaking name. Yeah. Like, it's very common in all the whole speaking world.
Anglo-Saxon.
But the way I pronounce it as an English person is Paul. The Americans think I'm saying Paul.
Like pole dancer.
Like P-O-L-E, like pole dancer. And it's every time... And then because they would pronounce it Paul.
Paul.
So I'm like, my name is Paul. And they go, Paul?
So let's imagine the scene in Starbucks, okay? Yeah. Good morning, sir. How can I help you?
Hi, can I get an English breakfast tea with a little bit of space for milk, please, and a chocolate muffin?
Okay. A little bit particular. A little slightly anal English guy. No problem. What's your name?
You didn't ask me what size I want.
What size do you want? Do you want tall, grande, vente, bullshitte?
I'll have the bullshitte.
Okay. That was just a joke, but that's fine. What name shall I put on the cup here, buddy?
Paul.
Sorry, what? Pole?
Yeah.
Pole?
Yeah.
Like pole dancer?
No, Paul, like P-A-U-L.
Paul. Paul. Oh, Paul!
Yeah, because how many people do you know that are called Paul, you idiot? Shut up and make my tea.
All right, then. There you go. You never know. There might be people out there called Paul.
I've never met anyone except for a Paul called Paul.
There aren't many people in Poland called Paul.
No, I know that.
I doubt that.
But that joke works in French as well, because...
Paul.
Paul could be like Pôle emploi, which is the unemployment office, which job is center. P-O-L-E, yeah, the job centre, which is great, which I have to go visit at some stage. Anyway.
Yeah, you need to...
Yeah, vowel sounds. That's the different vowel sounds.
The joy of vowel sounds. So how did we start talking about soaring?
You were talking about... Oh, the temperature soared. That's how we started the conversation.
That's it. The temperature is...
That is hot.
Every now and then the temperature in Paris soars into the mid-30s and it gets very hot here, which is great. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love getting a bit of sunshine on the old epidermis, that's skin.
You do have one leg that's in the sun and one leg that is not in the sun, Luke.
Yeah, is that a bad thing?
So you might have one slightly red leg at the end of the day and one normal leg.
That's why they call me Red Legs. Red Leg. Captain Red Leg.
Captain Red Leg.
It's just, if I was a pirate, that's what I'd be called. Captain Redleg. Because I'd have one leg in the sun.
You would.
And one leg in
Maybe
the shade.
Maybe that's how Captain Hook lost his leg.
Because he got so sunburned, they had to remove
one leg,
the whole
they
leg.
They had to cut the leg off and then they made it into a wood.
They had to amputate it. Or maybe it got so burned, it just sort of crusted into a, like a sort of a block. And he, you know, everyone assumed it was wood and it's actually his leg, but just really badly burned. So it becomes like mahogany. You know,
I like that beginning. the beginning. That's the prequel to Peter Pan. is how Captain Hook lost his leg.
Yeah, like a sort of a J.K. Rowling kind of thing. Captain Hook and the Mahogany Leg. it's a winning franchise. It'll make me rich one day. So I'm sitting here with Paul Taylor, or Paul. How do the French
Paul
say?
Taylor.
Paul Taylor. Okay. Or otherwise known as Paul Taylor. Where's Amber, Paul?
You know what?
Where the hell's Amber? Because everyone's thinking, oh, I like Amber's voice.
Yeah, everyone hates my voice. Yeah,
everyone hates your voice.
Comments are like, oh, Amber's voice is so delightfully beautiful. I wish I spoke more like Amber. My girlfriend wishes I spoke more like you.
Well, of course.
Because you've got a more of a posh English accent than I do. She very much likes that. She finds it unfortunate that I don't speak with a more posh English accent.
You're not the only one, you know, Paul, because there's a guy that we know called Ryan McMichael.
Yeah.
You know him? Yep. American guy?
Yep.
Very cool guy, right?
Yeah, he's got the coolest hair I've ever seen on a real human being.
That's the coolest human being that I know in terms of the way he looks. Yep. And obviously inside, he's a tosser.
I'm just on joking. The outside, he's cool. On the inside, he's a...
Absolute tosser. No, I'm just joking, of course. But
hi, Ryan, if you're listening.
Ryan, if you're listening to this, which you're probably not, but maybe you are. Maybe he is actually, because he watched one of my videos that not many other people had seen. So Ryan McMichael is listening to this.
Anyway, you were saying. About...
Anyway, I was saying, and I think maybe he probably is based on this story. He told me. Now, he didn't even tell me. He announced it on stage after I'd introduced him at a comedy show. He came up on stage. The first thing he said was that he'd had, let's call it a sex dream, Paul.
Yeah.
He had a sex dream about Emma Watson. You know Emma Watson, of course.
Yes.
She played Hermione in the
Harry Potter. Yeah, I was getting her confused with Emma Stone. Or Emma...
Well, they're both like very cute sort of, you know, starlets.
Yes.
But Emma Watson is this British actress who these days is considered to be like hot, but also intelligent. She's like an activist for feminist causes and stuff like that. But she's like widely adored by, you know, a whole generation of fans, and people, you know, fantasize about her and stuff, including Ryan McMichael. He had a sex dream about... Emma Watson.
Dirty, dirty man.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we all know that he is.
We all know that we've all had that as well.
But here's the twist, all right? When Emma Watson in his dream spoke...
She sounded like you.
She spoke with my voice.
Oh, good times.
So clearly...
Clearly your voice does something to people, Luke.
I think it does. It puts people into a sort of... a warm and malleable state, a pliable condition.
I do, yeah.
It's like a hypnotic kind of voice, isn't it?
I'm Paul. Upset that my voice, Paul. No one likes my voice.
Paul.
Yeah, so the question was, where is Amber? She is actually in Portugal on holiday, unfortunately.
Unbelievable.
You won't be hearing her today, those of you who like her voice. So you'll have to put up with my voice,
yeah, if you love Amber's voice, and you know, you're right.
I can maybe
nice
imitate
voice.
Her the whole...
You reckon?
Oh, hello, Luke. I can't imitate
That's the her. Queen. That's not Amber. So I'm very sorry, everyone, that Amber's not here today. But, you know, I would say her spirit is with us, but that's bollocks, isn't
it? Her spirit is on the beach right now.
Yeah. I think so. So let's see. What's going on in this episode? Well, we're sitting up here on the sort of rooftop thing, just melting in the summer heat. Which is nice. I'm enjoying that very much. I do have a kind of canopy which I can extend over part of this this little balcony, which allows us to keep the sun off our skin. But I do have one leg in the sun, another leg in the shade. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects the color of my legs. Paul is now taking a photograph of me.
Yeah, I like taking photographs during
I look very laid back, I imagine, when I'm recording this episode. Normally, I record this in extremely professional conditions. I wear a suit and tie, you know, I'm fully professional in my appearance. But in this particular one, because it's like summer and it's hot, I'm just lying back in a nice kind of deck chair, and it's very comfortable indeed. So, recently... On Facebook, recently I asked my followers, and they are my followers because, of course, they follow me. Actually, I think on Facebook they're not followers; they're like what
they're
are
likers.
They? They're likers.
You can follow on Facebook, but you can also like.
Yeah,
like friends. You can follow your friends. Be your friend with them, but you can also follow them. I don't know what the difference is.
You can follow people who are not your friends on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Because they've tried to make it like Twitter. Follow each other and you get access to certain things they post.
That makes sense.
But you don't get access to their full status, their full profile and
so
all that stuff.
So the Facebook people are your likers?
I suppose so. They like me. So I've got nearly 10,000 likes now on my Facebook page.
Congratulations.
It's all right. Yeah, but you know, it's
all right.
Well, no, it's great. It's brilliant. But I look around at some of my peers and my competitors who have, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of likes, and I think how the hell do they get all those likes?
Well, how do they get it by being good. You're not that good.
Well, I think we can all agree that that's bollocks.
The way you get more likes is by people listening to this sharing the page with their friends and saying, hey, there's this great English podcast called Luke's English Podcast, and you should like the page and listen to the podcast.
So that's it. Is it like word of mouth that people just tell each other about?
I have a feeling that pretty much everything in life is word of mouth. Some sort of marketing helps, but restaurants, stuff, it just is word of mouth.
What about things that are written down? Is that word of mouth as well? Like emails, letters, postcards? Does that count as word of mouth too, Paul?
Word of brain, I guess.
Word of hand.
Word of hand.
Hand, yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just being pedantic. Tell your friends about Luke's English Podcast. And if you don't like the Facebook page already, then check it out. You can find it, guess where? On Facebook. Just search for Luke's English Podcast and you'll find it. And in fact, what I've recently been doing is uploading something onto there every day. Extra stuff that you don't get on the podcast and that you don't find on the website, but exclusive content for the Facebook
followers.
Well,
that's a reason to follow you on Facebook. You had a good one today. Find the joke.
Yeah. It was a picture for some application on a computer and where you can choose the language. And they had, like, you know, all these different languages. And then there were two versions of English. One with a British flag, which said English traditional. And then one with an American flag, and it said English simplified.
It's because they don't know how to pronounce vowels, as we talked about.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, they just pronounce it in a very different way.
I posted the thing up there, and everyone obviously noticed the joke. But then I felt obliged. Well, did I feel obliged? I didn't feel obliged to say it, but I just did it anyway because I think it's true. That I don't really think that American English is a simplified version of British English, or that British English is somehow more old-fashioned than American English. I don't think so, because American English arrived, 200-300 years ago? And so it's just as traditional. It's just as old-fashioned.
And what happened to the 100 years before that? They just weren't speaking anything.
Well,
they were just grunting, going,
yeah. I don't know. I think. I guess the version of English,
because the country's been around for like 400 years.
Well, it got its independence when?
400 and something years ago. 450.
17 something.
I don't know.
All right.
How about anyway?
All right. Anyway. Let's not reveal our ignorance over American independence. Although I have proven on the podcast before that I am something of an expert on American culture. Oh, not really. So what was I talking about, Paul? I was saying
the reason that we're here. This is a long ass introduction.
Tell me about it. Okay, so we need to get down to business now. Recently on Facebook, I asked my followers or likers to send me some fixed expressions, and by fixed expressions, I'm talking about things like phrases, idioms, or, in fact, just individual words that they like or that they think are worth learning. I thought I'll probably get, you know, 15, 20 expressions or something
with
like that.
With 10,000 likes, you get more than that.
I'm underestimating the sphere of influence I have in the world. But anyway, the idea was that I'd just gather a few phrases that I could then, you know, feature on the podcast and, you know, a good way of generating content. I thought I'd get about 20 or something. I ended up with over 200 phrases.
Mate.
And they're good. They're good ones too. Yeah. They're ones that I think are worth teaching and worth knowing. The idea
200 in one episode?
No. I'll explain that in a moment.
We'll get through one at this rate.
I know. I'm lucky to even get to the first one. The idea was that I would do an episode with these phrases, but obviously I underestimated the number of responses that I would get. And now I have a huge database. It's nice to call it a database.
A database?
It's a list. But I'm calling it a database, okay? Now I have a huge database of nice, chunky, and rather British fixed expressions, which I can deal with in episodes of this podcast. And I've vetted the list. I've vetted the list, Paul.
Yeah, like you, like you're some sort of doctor that gives health to animals. I vetted the list.
I don't know. I don't know if that's what the word means. Well, I mean, obviously, we know what a vet is. It's like an animal doctor. But if you vet something, it tends to be that you go through it and you kind of select only the best or you'll remove some of the bad things from that list, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I've done. I've vetted the list. I've been selective. I've taken out some of the expressions that I don't really fancy teaching for one reason or another. I've cast an eye over the list, Paul.
You've cast an eye
I've
over cast the list.
I've had a look at the list.
You've taken an eye from somewhere
and
cast
I've just
it
cast
over.
It over the list. Don't ask me why I did that. But I've had a good long look at the list, okay? And I kind of got rid of the ones that I didn't really think were any good. I've used my professional opinion, my linguistic acumen, if you will, to determine which things were worth teaching and which ones weren't. And I've reduced the list to about 200 things, okay? So all of these items in this list have been given the Luke's English Podcast seal of approval, meaning that they're all expressions which are perfectly valid and that you should know. Okay, so what's a fixed expression? Well, basically,
yeah, that's the first time I've heard that term.
Yeah, you've never heard that term?
I've normally heard like idiomatic expression,
right?
But I've never heard of the term fixed.
Well, I want it to be more general than just an idiomatic expression, because obviously an idiom is like a phrase that has a meaning that's different to the literal meaning of those words. And a lot of these are idiomatic, but also there are some things here which are just phrases where, you know, those words are always used in that phrase, in that particular combination.
And I see, okay.
A fixed series of words or a fixed structure, for lexical structure, which it may be hard to understand unless you get a proper explanation of it, all right? These are things that I think most British native speakers know. Most of them are probably idioms, but there are just a few other sort of collocations and things like that thrown in there too for good measure.
I'll give you a disclaimer that my knowledge of fixed expressions in English is okay, but it's not amazing. This is one of the challenges I've had growing up in different places and speaking different languages. Is sometimes people will say something to me and I will have no idea what that phrase means, but because it's in a phrase or in a sentence, I'll get the general idea of the sentence. So I won't ask, "Oh, what does that mean?" Because then I look like an idiot.
I'm sure that that's...
So we'll see how we go. I might not be the best.
Well, we will see, Paul. Yeah. Don't worry, I've done this before. I'm an English teacher. We can relax.
All right, I'm relaxing. All right.
No, it's quite interesting that you say that, because I'm sure that that experience is shared by many of my listeners, that they hear certain phrases or whatever and they don't know what they mean, but they have to sort of instantly work them out from context or try and guess or at least bluff their way through, like having a conversation with someone and you don't really understand what they're talking about, but you can't admit that you don't know what they're talking about. Let's have an example of this, Paul, okay? I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to just make up some phrases that no one knows, and then you'll have to try and stumble your way through, okay?
Ready? All right, let's do this.
So on the way over here, I walked past this woman, and honestly, she was a right bag vendor. She really was absolute bag vendor, and I thought, oh my god, look at her!
Wow, what made her the bag vendor? Like, what was it about her?
You know, all the usual things, Paul.
Yeah, like what?
Like the fact that she was like singing. She was like, Jesus.
You've got 200 real phrases.
No, I want to make some
and
up.
And now you're making
I'm
some
making
up.
I'm making stuff up that's never been heard.
We still haven't got to.
Yeah, she was a right bag vendor. Honestly, she was weaving an inside cut all the way around the street. No, no one knows what these phrases mean, because they don't mean anything.
I've just made... That could be something that somebody would say to me and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Weaving an inside cut. I thought, being a tailor, Paul Taylor, that you'd understand that one. It sounds like a tailor's expression.
It should be, shouldn't it?
Weaving an inside cut. Anyway, those two things, a bag vendor and weaving an inside cut, they're not expressions. So that's maybe slightly... what's the word for it? When it's unproductive. Anyway, it's just a waste of time to make up expressions.
Yeah, when you've got 200
I've got around 200 real ones that my listeners really would like to know. So anyway, we know
what's the plan.
We know what a fixed expression is, right? The plan is that I've invited you, Paul Taylor, to my place. Amber wasn't available, so I had to invite you instead. No, I would have had you both. And we're going to do an exercise to help my listeners to learn these phrases and to give them some listening practice. Okay, Paul?
Sounds great.
So what we'll do is this. First of all, I will explain a phrase to you, Paul. It's going to be a sort of game between me and Paul, but my listeners can get involved too. We will start in this way. I will first explain a phrase to Paul without using the phrase itself. So I'll just explain what the phrase means and when we use it. And the idea is that Paul then has to guess which phrase it is. But my listeners out there in podcast land, the Lepsters, the Pleppers, the Leprechauns, the Lepanese people of Lepronia, you can get involved in this too. Because what you can do is just listen very carefully and see if you can guess which phrases I'm explaining. Okay, see if you can beat Paul Taylor and actually hear the phrases and actually identify the phrases before he does. Can you do that? Do you get the idea, Paul?
Yeah. I have to. You're going to tell me the phrase, or you're going to try and explain the phrase without telling me what the actual real phrase is,
yes.
And I have to guess what the actual phrase is.
Yes, exactly. And then once you've got it, then we'll sort of have a bit of a chat about that phrase. We'll discuss some things about it.
All right.
And that will just kind of give us a chance to explain the phrase a little bit more, and my listeners will get the full three-dimensional picture of what the phrase means and how it's actually used.
That sounds great.
Okay. All right. So we're 25 minutes into the episode now, which is, again, a stupidly long introduction.
It's ridiculous,
isn't it? This is Luke's English Podcast, and I like to do it my way here. It's my way or the highway. That's a real phrase.
Yeah, it is. My way or the highway. I wonder whether... No, we're not going to do that one because it's not on your list. Let's
okay.
go.
So, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do this.
Okay, let's start with the first one. So, this is an expression for a person in a group who has a negative effect on the rest of the group.
An asshole.
Nope. He's
Debbie Downer.
What?
A party pooper.
A party pooper is good, but it's not a party. It could be maybe in a work team. You've got one member of the team who is sort of a bad influence on the others, or just a bad person. He's a bit of a...
He's a bit of an idiot. He's a bit of a... Give me a clue, man.
So
I'll
give you a clue. It's related to food. It's related to a type of food that chickens produce.
He's an egg. A rotten egg. No?
Just a bad egg.
A bad egg?
Yeah. Yes.
See, that's one.
Yes, Paul. Yes. Yes, Paul. A bad egg. Oh, my God. I'm sure that some of my listeners have got better vocab than you do.
Probably, yeah. All right, he's a bad egg.
It's a bad egg. You've never heard that before?
Yeah. Not in relation to a person,
You've heard a rotten egg?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right.
I heard a bad egg.
All right.
It's a bit of a bad egg. For example, like a bad person.
Okay.
You used to work for a well-known company, and you used to do training, right?
Yes.
Do you ever have like sort of a bad egg in a training group?
Oh, yeah, quite a lot, yeah. There'd be...
There's always one bad egg.
There's always one guy who wants to answer every question you ask.
Is that bad?
Yeah, because that's not how people learn. People learn, adults learn by doing and by contributing and by sharing their experiences. And if there's one guy and is answering all the questions, other people aren't learning. Whereas you have to try and pull out the information from people. And so I'd be asking, let me think of a quick thing. Like, what are some great questions to ask when you're, delivering a workshop in front of people? And then some guy would put his hand up and he'd just reel off everything that he knew. It's like so he was a bad egg.
Right, okay. Yeah, I've had groups where you get one member of the group who doesn't like what's happening and they infect all the other members of the group. And then they've all been like brainwashed by this one person who's just not a very nice person in the first place, and it would be all right if they weren't there. And so that's like, a bad egg. Now, to help my listeners remember this, you can just think of an egg, like a really horrible egg. Imagine it in a room with lots of people, and that egg makes the room stink, so it's a bad egg. See?
Okay. That works, yeah.
All right, here comes the next one.
All right.
Let's see if you can do better than this. I expect some of my listeners got that one, and you didn't, Paul, so come on.
Yeah, you guys need to write in the comments here who got the answer before I did.
Yeah,
if I'm honest.
If you got the answer before Paul did, then well done. You're like you get a gold star.
Yeah, just type in which phrase you got before me, I look forward to seeing how good all your English is. And if your English is that good, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Of course, they should.
I'm only joking. Right, go, next phrase.
Okay. This one is an investment which brings in a reliable source of steady income. Something that just keeps bringing the money in.
Bring home the bacon?
No, not bringing in the money, but the thing that brings the money in. And it's a kind of animal that you might find on a farm.
A cow?
Yes.
A cow. Cow?
What kind of cow?
A golden cow?
Cash cow.
Cash cow. There we go.
You know that one, right?
I did know. I know that, yeah. That's
a great
example of that was when I used to work at Apple. People would say that the iPhone was a cash cow.
Why is the iPhone a cash cow?
The iPhone's a cash cow because it keeps bringing in money because people keep buying it.
Right.
It's a good product. Right. Another way that I heard a cash cow being used was, for those of you who are into comedy, an English-speaking comedy, Ricky Gervais,
yes,
created a show called The Office, right, which was a UK show. It got transported over to the US, and it went for many, many seasons. And when they decided to cancel it, Ricky Gervais said, oh, thanks for killing the cash cow.
Right.
So thanks for killing the show that's bringing me so much money.
Brilliant example, Paul. I think you've made up for the fact that you didn't know what a bad egg was. You've just made up for it by giving it a good example of a cash cow. So, yeah, exactly. Like, for example, if you have an apartment which you rent out and it brings in some cash every month, that's your cash cow. I've got a flat in London,
yep,
and I rent it out, and it's a little cash cow for me. It generates a little bit of cash. You talked about Apple's cash cow. I think that's good. I was going to ask you about an investment, right? Imagine if you had £50,000.
Yep.
£50,000. Just £50,000. If you had £50,000 to invest, what would you invest in?
That's a great question. £50,000 isn't a lot of money.
It's not that much, really.
To invest in something. Like, I'd probably just spend it. What would I invest £50,000 in?
You see, you mustn't just fritter it away.
No.
To fritter something away. You just like spend it carelessly and all, before you know it, all the money's gone. Don't fritter it away, Paul. You've got to invest it. You've got to make a smart investment. You need a cash cow.
I would probably invest it in, I've got no idea. I haven't thought about it. It's a difficult question to think about.
iPhones.
No, I wouldn't.
Just buy a bunch of iPhones. They're a cash cow. You said it yourself.
Yeah, but if I'm buying them full price and I'm selling them at full price, like, I'm not making any money, am I? Why would I just buy a £50,000 worth of iPhones?
Is there a chance that in the future Apple products will be considered like antique?
Their
vintage?
First one, yeah. Well, the first iPhone came out 8 years ago yesterday.
Right.
And I've got the first one, so I'm keeping it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't know what I'd invest it in.
I think you should invest it in Luke's English Podcast Incorporated, the new limited liability company, which is
LEP Inc.
Yeah, which is going to be floated on the stock exchange.
Yeah, and I'll invest in your stocks once you do that.
Watch out, because when you buy the stocks, I'm sure that the share price will soar.
Yeah, there we go. Back to the... There we go.
Rapidly. Okay, so here's the next phrase. And, okay, if you're talking about two things where there's a very sort of... oh, God. Okay, I'm going to explain
Two this. Heads are better than one.
No. Okay, there's a very subtle or small difference between two rather... distinctly different things, in fact.
Right.
So, you know, typically we use this expression when we're talking about the fact that being a genius and being a mad person, they're quite close.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Albert Einstein was famously obviously a genius, but he was also a bit mad. So there's...
A fine line.
Yes.
Pow!
There's a what?
There's a fine line between those two.
There's a fine line between genius and madness.
Yeah.
There's a fine line between genius and madness.
In our comedy world, you could say there's a fine line between being funny and being...
really offensive.
Offensive, yes. So if you have a very offensive joke about something that happened maybe in World War II or something, there's a fine line between making that funny and it being very offensive to a certain population.
Right, and it's about riding that line, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
You've got to walk that line.
You've got to walk the line.
Yeah, like that movie about Johnny Cash.
Yes, with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Ah, I've had Joaquin Phoenix on this podcast. Not literally. I haven't actually had him in any sense of the expression on the podcast, but I featured him in an episode many years ago.
Vowel sounds. We're talking about vowel sounds.
Yes.
So French people also have very different vowel sounds to English.
Yes.
And my girlfriend, when we first met, she was reading an article in one of those...
Magazines
about famous people.
Right.
And she was reading me an article. She was like, oh, Joaquin Phoenix has stopped being an actor.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, well, tell me more. So she was reading the article, and she said to me, she was reading it out, and the first sentence was, Joaquin Phoenix has stopped being an actor to become a raper. Which what she meant was, he's stopped an actor to become a rapper.
Right.
Because he started doing music for a little while. Mm. And that was just a very, you got to get the vowel sounds right when you're speaking English, because otherwise you will say raper instead of rapper.
Right.
And so there's a fine line there between getting it right and getting it wrong.
Yes, that's right. I've got a friend who's an English teacher, and he does, my listeners know all about him because he's been on the podcast. His name is Jason Levine, a.k.a. Fluency MC.
Fluency MC.
Yeah.
I love
and he
it.
Does hip-hop, rapping, and English teaching. So he does rapping in the classroom.
Wow, that's a good way of learning.
Gets his students to rap as well. And so apparently he gets that all the time on Facebook and stuff like that. People commenting, I love watching you rape. You know, I love hearing you raping with your students. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa there.
I'm not sure we're talking about
the
same thing.
Two P's. Don't forget. Yeah.
So there's a fine line there.
Okay.
What's the next one?
Right, so a fine line between madness and genius, for example. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. Okay. All right, this is something that's like a very quick and sudden success, but it's a success that doesn't last. Not laugh. It's
right.
a very quick and sudden success that doesn't last.
Oh, goodness me.
So to be a...
to be a one-hit wonder.
That's good. That, like in pop music, you know, have a one-hit wonder. Someone who has a one-hit record and then they're forgotten after that. It's a bit like that. But it's a cooking metaphor. Imagine you're cooking something with oil. And yeah. The temperature is very high.
Yeah.
And you want to maybe flambé the food. And so what happens is like suddenly the contents of the pan catches fire. A flash in the pan.
I've never heard that expression.
Oh, Paul Taylor.
Never heard of it.
Oh, why are you on my podcast?
This is a lot. Look, let me take one from you, because I reckon this is a lot more difficult
right,
than you're
right,
making
right,
it
right.
seem.
It's not. It's not at
I
all.
I think it is.
No, it's not. It's
let me
you
try
don't
one.
Know
let
English.
Let me prove to you that it's harder than it seems.
Okay, then. We'll come back to a flash in the pan, because it's a worthwhile expression.
All right. So let me find one that's a bit further down that you haven't
okay.
Necessarily
I'm
gone through.
I'm so ready.
Okay. Let's find one here. Wow. Okay.
Let's see if you can actually explain it, listeners.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see if I can explain it, because a lot of these I actually don't know. All right. When you do something.
Yes.
And you completely mess it up.
Oh, it's a cock-up.
Yeah, yeah, but you've seen this list.
Yeah, I've seen the list already.
Yeah, that doesn't work, does it?
It's a right cock-up. You've ballsed it up. It's gone pear-shaped.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot for that one.
Yeah, to mess something up.
I'm going to come up with a phrase in my head in a second,
okay.
And I'll try and teach you it.
I was hoping to go through about 20 of these things.
Yeah, all right.
I think we've gone through about four so far.
Yeah, flash in the pan. Never heard of it.
A flash in the pan. Well, basically, it's a very brief success. Now, the reason why that you haven't heard of some of these phrases before is, as you said, in the podcast previously, you spent a lot of time moving around as a child.
Yeah.
You had a very difficult childhood.
I wouldn't say difficult. It was movemented. That's a French word. Mouvementé. It was up and down.
Nomadic.
Yeah, a little bit. So my English vocabulary isn't actually that great with expressions.
What you are particularly good at, though, is the sounds. Like the accents and copying accents,
yes.
And you're very good at adopting different accents.
Yep.
You should be my go-to guy for accents, Paul, because clearly you don't know any words.
No, but this is fun, because then people will guess all of these before me, and they'll think that they're really good at English,
exactly,
when they're actually not.
It does actually show that it's not all about knowing all the words, because I've met students before who know just reams and reams of idioms. They know loads of them. And they're just like an idioms machine.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's raining cats and dogs today, and I'm dog tired, and, you know, I could eat a horse. It's like, whoa, 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 slow down.
But they say it with the worst. Here's the thing. If you're learning English, folks, the best way to get people to convince you that you speak a good language, whether it's English or any other language, is having the accent. Because when I, for example, when I speak Spanish, I have a very convincing accent.
Can you give us a little bit of Spanish?
I can do,
speak to us in Spanish a little bit.
Hola, me llamo Paul, soy inglés, vivo en Francia desde hace 6 años y me gusta mucho el país, me gusta la comida, me gusta todo y está muy bien. And okay. When I say that to Spanish people, they look at me and they go, oh my God, your Spanish is amazing. It's the best I've ever heard an English person speak Spanish. The problem is, my Spanish isn't actually that good. I'm just good at doing the accent. Right. I mean, I can speak good enough Spanish to you know, to have a conversation in a bar.
Really?
But, yeah. But
it sounded pretty good.
It does, right? And so that's the thing. Like, imagine somebody... that's the thing. Like, people can speak really, really great English with the most amazing vocabulary in the world, better than I do, but they sound like this when they speak, hello, it is raining cats and dogs, and instantly... English people will go, he's foreign.
He's foreign. What's he doing in our country?
He's stealing all our jobs and taking away all our women. But that's the thing. Like, an accent, when you're learning a language, if you get the accent right, it gives you about 50% more
credibility
as a speaker of that language. So, I mean, when people hear me speak in English, they go, he's fully English. I've got nothing else to say about him apart from the fact that he's English. But as we found out,
people could think of some other things to say about you.
But my English isn't actually that good in terms of expressions. Keep going, though. This is fun.
Okay.
Because I'm learning stuff as well.
Yeah.
How good is it that your guest is learning stuff?
Oh, my God.
So a flash in the pan means a quick success. All right.
Okay, then. A flash in the pan. For example, you know, when the Beatles first started, everyone thought they were just going to be a flash in the pan. But in the end, they were like a forest fire of success.
Yeah.
That's not an expression of forest fire. I've just made that one up. There you go. Would you rather, Paul, be a flash in the pan, which means that you make loads of money, you get sudden instant success, you make loads of money, then you disappear from fame and you become anonymous. So you can either be that or you become a long-lasting success, someone who's, you know, considered to be a big success for a long term, and yet someone who's constantly in the public eye and you don't get your own sense of privacy anymore. Which one do you want? Instant success, make it rich, but then no one knows who you are after 3 years, or make it rich and long-lasting success, but you don't have a private life anymore. Which one do you want?
I'd never thought about it, actually, but that first one sounds pretty good. That if you make enough money that you can kind of retire and not have to work, and then, you know, you just sit... hang around and be on a beach, you know, with the people you want to be or whatever.
Yeah, just let one of your legs get really sunburned while the other one stays white.
Exactly.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. I think I'd probably get bored of it after a while, though, maybe. You know, if it was because I'm doing comedy now, I think if I was to do comedy in something, you know, I became a flash in the pan and I did something that was funny and it didn't last, then I might get bored after a while.
If you just did like one bit... like the bit about going to Starbucks and them getting your name wrong, which makes you a huge success internationally.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, I can understand where I am from. We also have this problem with Starbucks.
That's
I don't know where
Russian accent.
Is that Russian?
Sounded very
I don't know if that was supposed to be Russian. You can just decide who that was, listeners. And then after that, you're just, for 4 years, you're known as, hey, it's Paul from the Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then after that, and, you know, you go to Starbucks, you know, for 4 years you go to Starbucks and they're like, hey, it's you, you the crazy pole guy. And then after 5 years you go to Starbucks and they're like, what's your name? Who are you? I don't know where this Starbucks is that I'm doing this impression of.
Yeah, I don't know. What would you rather do? Would you rather have instant success? Or would you...
No, I want the proper long-lasting success. I want to make a difference to the world, Paul.
That I do as well.
You know, I would have like a bed in for peace, like John Lennon did. I'd be doing huge charity telethons.
You know what I thought about the other day? And this is my new dream. I just had a dream very recently, which is to become a successful stand-up comedian. Hasn't happened yet. But once that does happen, I thought I would love to do a show. I would love to learn sign language.
Mm-hmm. Where's this going? Sorry. It's a great beginning to your dream. I'd love to learn sign language, and then what are you going to do with it?
And then do a stand-up comedy show.
In sign language.
In sign language for deaf people, because I just realised that, like, deaf people can't really go to a show, like to a theatre show or a comedy show, and unless they're very good at lip reading, but you could be far away and you can't really see the person.
Right.
And I thought it would be, one, so that it would, like, you can get the deaf community out to... to a show that they can watch. But then also, I think it would be a really interesting challenge as a comedian to, if you're learning, you know, if you speak, to because you normally...
Yeah.
you normally can speak better than this if you're if you're on stage and it's more fluid. I'm definitely not DJ fluid or rapper fluid or whatever it was.
Fluency MC.
But
your version of Fluency MC would be if you
That's why I want to learn sign language, because I can't speak properly. No, it's. I'd want to do it because it would be a challenge, because as a comedian, you're... I've forgotten the word. What's the word? You react to laughter.
Okay.
When the crowd are laughing, you feel great and you hear the noise and that's what you know, makes you really excited. And that's what... But you don't have that if it's deaf people. You'd probably see them laughing.
Deaf people would make noise when they're laughing.
They would. No? I guess so. It depends if, how deaf they are. Like, if they were born deaf, then probably not. But if they became deaf, then yeah. But I think it would be a really interesting challenge to have to respond to, you know, because if they, you know, applause breaks happen in comedy. When you're very, very funny, people stop and they applaud.
Yeah.
But, you know, in sign language, applause is like two hands in the air waving.
Oh, you actually visual applause.
You visual applause. Yeah, that's what applauding is like when you're doing sign language. And I know there's famous comedians that have had shows where they've had a sign language interpreter.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You could do your show and have like a person there on the side of the stage doing all of the kung fu moves.
Or, yeah, that would be cool.
I say kung fu moves, obviously it's proper sign language. I'm just being facetious.
But
flippant.
Yeah, I'd like to do it myself. Like, I'd like to learn and do a show myself in sign language at some stage.
So that would be brilliant.
That's my second goal. Once I've actually found out that I'm funny, first of all, I've got to learn English.
Yeah.
Second of all, I've got to try and make people laugh in English. And third of all, that's when I can try and maybe make people laugh in sign language.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Anyway.
There's probably going to be someone now who writes in saying, oh, you can't say second of all and third of all. I did that once. I was listening to stuff on the podcast. I said, first of all, blah, 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 blah. Second of all, blah, 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 blah. And I kept going. Someone wrote, you can't, according to blah, 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 you know, whatever, you can't say second of all.
So how do you say it then? Second, just say second.
Secondly or just second? But I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, it's not going to bring down Western civilization, is it, if you say second of all?
That guy sounds like a bad egg.
And anyway, it's... Yeah. Yes. He's learnt the phrase, ladies and gentlemen. He learnt it.
Whoop, whoop.
A bit of a bad egg. I would throw in a little bit of a before. Just instead of going straight out, just, you know, instead of just going jumping straight
in. It's too English. You've got to be more direct.
Egg. He's a bad egg.
We
you've
discovered
got to be
through
like,
a podcast
I think
that we
he's
did.
A bit of a bad egg.
We need to be more direct, Luke. That's the problem with English people.
He's a fucking beep. Anyway, so we've had a flash in the pan there. Okay.
All right, next.
Right, you're definitely going to know this one. This is something that's really irritating or annoying, something that's really inconvenient in your life. It's such a...
pain in the neck.
Yes.
I was going to say the rude one, which is a pain in the ass.
Or pain in the ass.
But a pain in the neck.
Pain in the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, obviously, something that's very...
Tell you what is a pain in the neck.
What's that?
When you're deaf and you go to a comedy show and there's no sign language interpreter.
Yeah.
And that would be a pain in the neck.
And you've got a bad seat and you have to, like, crane your neck around.
Yeah.
And after an hour, it's like, oh, this is literally a pain. Literally and idiomatically a pain
very,
in the neck.
We very rarely use that phrase literally. But there's times when you could use it literally.
Like,
you know,
for
like
example,
if you're at the cinema and you've got a really bad seat at the cinema, like at the very front and you're watching a big screen... At the end, you could say that film was a pain in the neck, literally. But we don't ever use it that way.
Yeah, or like this glandular inflammation is a real pain in the neck. So you've got a pain in the neck, fine.
I'm not that bad.
No.
I am.
What?
At this.
No, you're
but
okay.
I think this will be more fun for people to hear me struggle than me just get them straight away.
I did an episode a long time ago with my brother, and it was like... a grammar test with my brother.
Yeah.
He didn't have a clue. Let's see, for example, Paul, if you can...
All right. No, I won't. I don't know anything about English language.
Let's see. Can you tell me the difference between the present perfect and the past simple tenses? It's a very common question.
All right. What is it? The past what?
Present perfect and past simple. What's the difference? teacher, please explain me difference.
All right.
Present perfect, past simple.
Past simple.
I don't know which accent that is,
past simple,
way.
I would say I had...
What? Had what?
I don't know. I had whatever. It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
Okay.
You have to finish that phrase.
All right. I had a cup of tea.
Okay.
Past.
Yes, that's past simple.
Past simple.
Yes. I wouldn't have used the verb had, though, because it could be confused with the auxiliary
verb. I ate a cup of tea.
What? You ate a cup of tea?
I ate a slice of toast.
Right.
I ate a slice of toast is past simple?
Yes.
What, is that what it's called in English?
Yes, that's right.
What's the other one?
Present perfect.
Present perfect.
They don't have it in French.
I ate a slice of toast, so I am eating a slice of toast.
No, that's present continuous.
Okay. No, that's the imperfect I was eating.
That's past continuous.
You don't have imperfect?
No.
Well, that's past continuous.
Everything's perfect in English.
Okay, so
it's either a simple or perfect.
Present perfect. Is that a past tense or a present tense?
Ooh.
It sounds like a past tense.
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both,
okay.
Really.
So both present and past.
It's a present tense.
So I was eating, so I ate slight toast.
I have eaten.
Okay, I've eaten a slice of toast.
I've eaten 19 slices of toast already this morning.
Yeah, and French people have a huge...
Did that guy just fall off his ladder?
Yeah, I think it was his way of saying hello. How are you? Okay. After we said...
Are you all right?
No response.
French people have a hard time with those two.
Yes, definitely they do.
A huge problem.
Not just the French, but many, many people from different countries have problems with, like, you know, I ate a slice of toast and I have eaten a slice of toast.
They usually say I have eaten, but we rarely say that. Like, the only time I've used the present... Is it present perfect? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Is like when people say, oh, have you been to France?
Oh, so it's life, like, experiences.
Yeah, like I have been to France.
That's not the only time.
It's not, but it's the only conscious time that I use it.
You're using it a lot more than that, unconsciously.
I'm
honestly,
sure I am.
You are. The thing that French people cannot deal with, no matter how hard I try, is I've been doing something for blah, 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 blah. Amount of time.
Yeah.
And what you always get with French is I am doing something since and then a certain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I am doing something during. For example, I am studying English during 10 years.
Oh, that's very
terrible.
Awful English. Like I've not heard that as much. Obviously you've got more experience teaching French people than I do.
Well, the thing is that with present perfect continuous like that, you're talking about, you know, something you started in the past and you're still doing. And you're talking about the duration of time you've been doing it. So you've got to get not only the time expression right, but the tense right as well.
Yeah.
So the thing is in French that they would say, I am living here or I live here. Just a simple present tense.
Yeah, I live here since.
Since, and then and then a time expression. And I understand that the present simple tense is one thing. And then it's contextualized with the time expression. Mm. And then you understand. But the thing is, in English, you've got to get the tense right and the time expression right. You don't let the time expression do all the work for the sentence, that they both perform the function
<You've lost me. laughs>
at the same time. I really know what I'm talking about. You've got no idea how much I know.
Here's the thing. I know how to speak English. I wouldn't be able to teach it. I could teach French and Spanish because I learned French and Spanish. Yeah. But when I learned English, it was, you know, I didn't get taught English.
Well, the thing is that, like, imagine, I mean, you speak English already, you know, like a native.
Yeah.
Even though you don't know any fixed expressions. No, you do. And those grammar rules and stuff confuse you, right? You know, when I'm saying things like you've got to get the time expression right and the verb tense
the
is going to be right.
Yeah, the terms confuse me, but I get the concept, like, because of the French and the Spanish that I've picked up.
But it is pretty abstract and difficult to get a grip on.
Mm.
Imagine what it's like when you're learning that language and also having to deal with the grammar explanations at the same time.
I can't even. This is Sebastian,
hard.
One of our friends who does comedy, has a joke.
We know Sebastian on this podcast. Oh,
of course you do. Yeah, you had a cup of tea with Sebastian.
Yeah, another conversation in which we drank rum.
Oh,
anyway,
that sounds like a good.
It was great.
Good podcast.
It was good podcast.
I didn't hear that one. Anyway, he does a joke in his show where he talks about learning French is really complicated.
Yeah,
and he talks about learning English is like a piece of cake. It's like it's like child's play because it's like I go, you go,
we go, we like they go, he goes.
Oh, that's really difficult.
That's a tricky one.
But it's actually really difficult.
English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Like, when you talk to me about all that stuff and, like, it comes naturally, I guess, obviously. But it's... I remember learning French and that was really difficult for me. Like, learning French. I've got a grip on it mostly. But there's some French stuff that I'm just like, I don't understand Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the stuff that's plural, that I was talking the other day to somebody about a funeral.
Yeah.
They were saying it's like funerals. You can't have one funeral in French.
Really? That's a pity.
It's not un funérailles, it's des funérailles.
That's rather tragic, isn't
it? Yeah, so people die here two at a time at least. They don't die on their own.
It's dangerous when one person dies.
Yeah, it's like bad luck.
Multiplies.
It's like if you see a magpie, only one.
Right.
It's bad luck. So if one French person dies without another French person.
It's bad luck when... Are you saying, Paul, that it's bad luck when only one French person dies? Hey, two people died. Yeah. Hey,
if all of them died, it would be a celebrate. I'm joking. French English ribbery.
Yes. We like to make fun of each other, the English and the French. If you've ever wondered that, if you've ever heard me on the podcast sort of taking the piss out of the French, then that's why, because we like, you know, we're neighbors and we like to take the piss out of each other. Okay, so it's all good, it's all fine, and we
love
it.
That's a great expression, isn't it?
Take the piss out
to take the piss out of someone. Like, I go inside your urethra and remove the piss from inside of you.
Yeah,
I take the piss out of you.
Why would you want to do that? Remove the urine from inside me?
I don't know.
And why is that similar to making fun of someone?
I don't know.
It's really weird. Anyway, so what did we just have? A pain in the neck. Okay. All right. Let's see if you know this one. So this is someone who is certain to succeed or someone who is certain to win a competition.
Sure bet.
Very close to a sure bet. Someone or something that which we assume will be a success. For example, for an entrance exam to a university. We expect this girl to pass. In fact, it's almost impossible to imagine that she won't qualify for the course. She's a... She's a sure bet.
She's a... Give me a clue. A visual clue. She's a toe.
What do you put on your
feet? A shoe-in.
Yeah, shoe-in.
A shoe-in.
Yeah. She's a shoe-in. Yeah. Yeah, you see, like, you should see his face right now. His face is making that expression of like, yeah, I know this, but I don't know it. How do I know it and not know it at the same time?
I thought it was to get a shoe in somewhere, like to. What? If you get a shoe in somewhere.
Well, yeah. You mean like to put your foot in the door?
Yeah.
It's like a foot in the door.
No,
you're thinking of a foot in the door. So, for example, if you get a work experience placement in a company.
No, I know that one.
You know, you get your foot in the door, and then eventually, once you get your name known, you might get a job.
Yeah.
But a shoe-in is someone who's definitely going to succeed.
Okay.
For example, you know, England in the World Cup. They're a shoe-in, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
Obviously, that should be obvious that that's a joke. So a shoe-in is someone, for example, you know, a girl who studies really hard, she gets really good grades, she's definitely going to be admitted to Cambridge University. I mean, she's a shoe-in.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. She's a shoe-in. What about you? Where did you go to university?
I went to university in London.
Okay.
Queen Mary.
What did you study?
I studied French and Hispanic studies.
Okay.
So that's why I said I could teach you French and Spanish, because I learnt it pretty well. It's been, 7 years that I graduated? 6 years? So I've forgotten a lot of the terms, which is why I said imperfect
the
earlier.
The terms.
On.
You mean the words?
Yeah, the specific words.
I'm just joking.
Whereas, the imperfect tense in French and Spanish is the was, which was the whatever you called it in English.
Past continuous.
But I've heard imperfect is a word that we use in English for tense. Maybe it's only when we're learning French and Spanish, but we learnt it as the imperfect.
Right.
Spanish, imperfecto.
Yeah, in French, we talk about imparfait, the imparfait.
Which is like, I was eating.
Yeah.
Je mangeais.
Je mangeais. Oui. Je mangeais quand Paul son... No. Paul... fuck. Just revealed the low level of my French.
I was eating when Paul...
When Paul, like, arrived or called me.
I would say...
So combining tenses.
Yeah. So, je mangeais quand Paul est arrivé.
Exactement.
Which is the past.
It's because I couldn't...
Compound past? How do you say that in English?
What?
The... Past. Oh, we don't have that, do we, in English? We've only got the past simple, le passé simple, which is the...
Well, yeah.
They're like, I ate.
Oh, you're talking about the fact they use the verb be to conjugate.
Yeah, well, because in French, the French only use the... What was the first thing? Like, I ate.
Je,
what is that?
Je mangeais.
But in English.
Oh, I ate. I was eating when...
No, what's just I ate in English? What's that called? The past...
Simple.
The past simple. So the French only use the past simple in literary. They never use it spoken.
Really?
Because it's compound. They use the verb to have in between. So they say, I have eaten.
Right. But yeah, as far
that's
as
why they always make the mistake.
Right. As far as I understand, the French form the past simple as we know it in English by using have. Like j'ai mangé, right? J'ai mangé?
Yep, so that's I have eaten.
Yeah, but it looks like and sounds like I have eaten, but it's used to mean I ate.
Correct. But they also have the literary, which is je mangea, which means
whoa.
I ate.
Literally,
seriously? Yeah, but it's only ever. Have you ever heard anyone say to you, "Ce fut un plaisir"?
But no.
No, all right, because no one likes you.
No, also because I just can't identify the words.
Anyway, this is Luke's English podcast, not Luke's French podcast.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Let's go.
Okay, so we just had a shoo-in. Were you a shoo-in to get into university?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was.
Really?
No, not to getting. I was a shoo-in to getting a degree
to graduate
because I already spoke French and Spanish, and I chose to do French and Spanish at university.
Right.
So I was a shoo-in.
So everyone's like, yeah, he's going to pass, no worries, he's a shoo-in.
Exactly.
Okay, then. I always used to think that it was spelt shoe, like S-H-O-E.
Oh,
like
is it not?
Literally to get a shoe-in.
S-H-U?
Like to throw a shoe-in. No, it's S-H-O-O.
Oh.
Shoe-in. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you like, if it helps you remember it, you can imagine squeezing a shoe or throwing a shoe through an open space and it's a shoe-in.
Mm.
Like
I thought you meant to remember the spelling.
Like putting your foot putting your foot in the door.
Yeah.
To
remember the spelling, you could just imagine you've stepped on poo with your shoe, but you take the, you mix that together, and it's shoe.
S-H-O-O.
With an
O. Right. Okay. Yeah, sure, if you like. We had this one before. This is the one that you tested me on. This is a complete mess. When something is completely, when someone messes something up completely.
Yeah.
For example, they tried to rob the bank, but they forgot to load their guns, and one of them got trapped in the vault, and the other didn't know what to do. They both were recorded by CCTV cameras, and they got arrested. It was a total...
cock-up.
Yes, exactly, a cock-up.
A cock-up.
Which means, you know, a disaster, something was completely bungled. It was a cock-up.
Yeah, we have a...
it up.
People might think that's a very sexist phrase, that it only applies to men and cocks, but we can say that things have gone tits up as well.
True.
Which is a similar expression, which means things have gone wrong. Like, it's all gone tits up.
Yeah.
I
don't think when we say it was a cock up, I don't think we're talking about the male reproductive organ.
Are we not? I think
no, I don't think it's that kind of cock. And that's not what I've understood.
Really? Because if you say the F word... I don't know if we're allowed to say it on this.
Yeah, we can. A fuck up.
If it was a fuck up, I would expect it to be a cock up, like.
Right. Just insert a rude word, basically, and it works. Like, it was an absolute shit up. No one says that, by
yeah,
the
it was
way.
A balls up.
A balls,
as well.
Yeah,
they're cocksy, so that's why I thought it was cock.
So, a balls up, a cock up.
Tits up.
No, not no, a tits up.
No, it's not.
It went tits up, yeah. So, it went tits up. It was a fuck up. It was a cock up.
It was a balls up. Cock up. Yeah, I would consider that a rude. Like, I wouldn't say that at school, or I wouldn't say that in front of kids.
I think it's okay.
What's it referring to then? The animal?
Well, I've heard various versions. Like, no one really seems to agree on the origin of this. But it seems that it doesn't refer to a penis. In fact, it's more likely to refer to a bird. You know, like the male chicken,
yeah,
or other species of bird that are similar to that.
Mm.
For example, during hunting, if you accidentally startled a woodcock during a hunt, then that would be a cock up. So imagine you're in the forest,
right,
and your job is to make the birds fly out of the forest so that the hunters can shoot them.
Like that video game,
Duck Hunt.
Yep.
In this case, the hunters are shooting woodcock, which are like these large brown birds that live in the forest. And you accidentally cause all the woodcocks to fly up into the air too early. And they also, you know, that was a cock up.
Yeah, that sounds more plausible.
Mm.
It's good.
Maybe. All right, then. So there we go. A cock up. What's the biggest cock up that you've ever... Now, do you make a cock up or do you do a cock up? Cock up.
Make.
Okay, what's the biggest cock up that you've ever made?
The biggest cock up I ever made, I don't know the biggest one I've ever made, but one that comes to mind right now was when I was a kid. I used to really like playing with toy cars, like most boys.
Yeah.
And I used to like crashing them and creating like car crashes with them.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of, I was outside in the garden, and I got a hold of, I think, my dad or mum's matches.
Yes.
Because I wanted to burn them and create like an actual car crash.
Of course you did.
So I was out in the garden, and I started lighting up like the cars, and because it was the summer, the grass caught on fire because it was very dry, and it just the whole bush basically, which was probably a good like 20 meters long.
Oh god!
It was like a big bush around a garden. It caught on fire, and all the neighbors had to come with like buckets and hoses, and like people like eyes were hurting because of the smoke. And that was probably my biggest cock up as a child was that.
Wow, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah,
you nearly burned down the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very good one. Okay, here comes the next phrase. Are you ready for this one?
I am.
A single word. It's just a word that it's like a British thing, and it means great, brilliant, fantastic.
Amazing.
It's a very short word. I'll give you a clue. It's
top, tip top.
No, it's a three-letter word, begins with an A, ends in an E. It's got a C in the middle.
Ace.
Ace, yes, exactly.
That's
well done.
Ace.
Ace. Wow. Ah, it's ace.
I don't know if anyone says that anymore.
Really?
I think people over... I think my dad would say that.
Yeah. Your dad?
Well, he's from the north. So he'd be like, you're right, that's ace. Okay. That's not his accent, but yeah.
I always used to say ace when I was growing up.
That's ace, no.
I guess people don't say it so much anymore.
No, they'd say that's bants now, wouldn't they?
They'd say that's bants, meaning good banter.
Yeah, which literally means the same thing. Like, it's ace. It's good. It's bants.
Right, okay. I didn't know that one. I was just going to say, when was the last time you said, oh, that was ace?
I don't think I've ever said it.
You've never said that. I've said that a lot in my life.
I think it's something, what I love about English expressions, same with any language really, is that depending on where you're from in that country, you'll come up with different phrases.
Yeah.
Especially that, I think that one phrase, like, it's good, is probably the most, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it is.
You're going to what?
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
You'll have to explain that one.
Yeah,
later.
Anyway, I'm going to make a statement here that might not be true,
right?
But I'm pretty sure it is that one phrase, which means it's good, is probably the most changeable phrase,
right?
Depending on your age and your location within the UK, it might be other countries as well. But I remember even different schools within my city. Our group would say, even different years within our school, you know, we like the little kids would say, oh, that's
boss.
It's quality, that's boss, it's like that's heavy,
that's wicked.
It's mad, it's wicked, but then it evolved so much.
Let's just very quickly go through as many different ways of saying that's good as we can think of, right? So we've got, oh, that's boss, that is.
That's amazing.
That's wicked.
Safe.
That's sick.
Dark.
That is dope, man.
That's heavy.
That's solid.
Wicked. Did you already say wicked?
I've done wicked. Crucial. That is crucial. No one says that anymore, but
that's
I like
bants.
It.
Bants. We've already had that.
Now we've got that. That's dead on.
Dead on. Quality. I might have already said
cracker.
That.
Cracker, aye, in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
There are
grand.
Fantastic, splendid, spiffing.
Yeah, they're
wonderful.
All a bit posh, but there's a lot of. That's fucking grand. Yeah, there's a lot
that's
of those, but anyway,
grand.
They change.
That's grand. There's loads. All right.
And depending on what word you say, that will reveal your level of cool to other people.
Okay. It's true. It's true. It's sort of, you know.
More so than any other phrase, I think.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. So if you say, that's jolly lovely, isn't it?
Well, that's ace. Like, as an example, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, God, who says that still?
All right. I thought it was quite normal myself. But what do I know? I'm only Luke from Luke's. Right, here's the next one. You've got two more left.
Yep.
Yeah, two more. All right. I reckon I'm going to put money on the fact that you don't know this.
Okay.
Let's see. So this is a phrase that means it's all gone bad.
It's all gone tits up.
It's all gone. It's all deteriorated. Like, for example, it's all gone to the dogs.
Wow. Okay.
It's all gone. Gone.
It's all gone. It's all gone south.
That's good. It's all gone south, or it's all gone pear-shaped.
Pear-shaped.
It's all gone.
Just give me a clue.
Okay. It's like a thing that you put something. You put food into it and then put it in the oven.
You put food, it's all gone oven, it's all gone tray.
In Lancashire, they like to eat a dish called Lancashire hot.
It's all gone pot. It's all gone to pot.
It's all gone to pot.
There we go. It's all gone to pot.
It's all gone to pot.
My theory, new now, as I've just been listening to this, is that things go wrong quite a lot in the UK, and that's why we have so many versions of it's all gone tits up, it's gone belly up. Belly's up, it's gone belly up.
Belly up, belly up.
Belly up, it's gone south, it's gone pear shaped.
It's gone to pot, it's all gone to the dogs.
We have a lot of phrases to say that it's gone
wrong. Negative culture. But we also have loads of phrases for saying that's good.
It's true.
So we're not necessarily a negative culture.
Either things are great or they're not.
Yeah.
There's no in between. There's no, what, like, mediocre. That's gone mediocre.
It's a land of extremes.
That's all right. Although, everything in the UK is great or not so great. But when we speak to each other, everyone's just all right. You all right?
That's true.
You all right? I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah,
you know, some people, when they come to England, like Americans or whatever, they come to the UK and they meet people and the people go, you're all right. And they're like, Yeah, I'm fine. I miss my family a little bit, but other than that, I'm okay.
We should do a whole thing, like you're a whole sketch of like an American coming to England.
Yeah. Are you all right? Are you all right, Paul? Yeah. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm getting by. Yeah, it's difficult. The food's not as good as I'd hoped, but you know, I'm basically all right. No, I just mean hi.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Yeah. Here's the last one. Okay, here's the last one, all right? It's not going to be that good.
Oh.
I'm sure, I think that you might not know it. You did know the other one. It's all gone to pot.
Yeah, it's all gone to pot. I've heard
it. Took
that
a little while to get there.
Yeah.
But you did know it. Here's another one. When things suddenly become chaotic and out of control.
They're mental.
For example, when they announced a flash sale of Louis Vuitton handbags, what happened in the department store?
Oh. Shit was cray cray.
Cray cray meaning crazy. Okay.
Give me a clue.
Okay. Like, for example, let's see.
Because there could be so many expressions.
It just went completely out of control.
Yeah.
It's like when the contents of, you know, certain religions say that there's a heaven above us and below us there is.
It's all gone to hell? No, it was all hell broke loose.
All hell broke loose.
See? That's the kind of clue that I'm looking for. Because if you just say you go into a store and stuff was crazy, like there's about 50 million expressions as well. Okay. So that's great. All hell broke loose. I like that one.
So did you get my example?
Yeah, you said heaven and...
No, I mean the example I used in the department store.
Yeah, all hell broke loose in the department store at Louis Vuitton sales.
Primark. I remember seeing this on TV in Japan when I lived there because like Louis Vuitton bags were like the biggest thing at the time.
I think they still are.
Everyone on the subway in Japan had Louis Vuitton bags, you know. It's like in Paris now, you can walk around the streets and just count. I do this with my wife. We walk around and we do like a counting competition. Before we go out, we predict how many pairs of Adidas Stan Smiths we're going to see.
Or Nike Air Max 1s.
Yeah. It seems Adidas Stan Smiths are the easy to spot ones. You know, ladies and gents, I don't know if you're aware of this, but certainly in Paris at the moment, white Adidas Stan Smith trainers are incredibly popular. They've come back. I think they were originally brought out in the 80s.
I think so, yeah.
And then they came back in the 90s, and they're back again. And it's just them. It's not like all old school Adidas trainers are back. It's just that
the
model.
Stan Smith.
And every man and his dog is wearing Stan Smith's trainers. And so, I mean, we went to a festival called We Love Green a few weeks ago. And, you know, before we went, I said to my wife, I was like, okay, how many pairs of Stan Smiths do you think we're going to get? And she was like, 25. And I said, all right, 50. You know what we got? After about an hour of counting, and I got like a ratio after an hour, I calculated that over the 3 hours, if I kept counting, I would have counted 500 pairs.
Oh my God. That many. That's outrageous.
It was like 1, 2, 3. You know, we walked, walking up the road to the festival, it was like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, they just kept going up and up and up.
I played
like
a game similar to that a couple of years ago, and you can still kind of do it in Paris, but I get the impression there's less of them, but smart cars. The very small cars. Like, I remember when I first moved here, I was just... It was impressive how many of them there were in Paris. Similar,
and how many there were as well.
Yeah, how many there were. Similar thing in Paris. I've noticed that foreigners that come to Paris notice that there's a lot of motorbikes with three wheels, two at the front, one at the back. They're not shocked by this. They go, oh, that's weird. I've never seen a three-wheeled motorbike before. But they're everywhere.
It'd be funny if they were shocked, though. I was shocked when I came to Paris to discover the number of three-wheeled scooters.
It was absolutely shocking and disgraceful. Ugg boots. A couple of years ago, you could do the same thing with Ugg boots.
Ugg boots.
Those yeah. boots that women would wear that are technically indoor shoes in Australia.
Are they?
Yeah, that's. I used to have a pair of UGG boots when I lived in Australia, and then I came over to England, and they were all the rage, and people were wearing them outdoors, and I was like, oh God, what's... And I was the pretentious one because it's like, oh, sorry that you've lived in Australia, you know. So women would wear these sheepskin boots.
Okay, I see.
By the brand of UGG, anyway.
Right, so we've got to the end. That was just 10 out of 200. Jeez. Does that mean we need to do this 20 more times?
Oh, mate.
We'll see. What's happening on my podcast at the moment is that I'm just sort of... I keep planning things or collecting language or questions or other stuff, and I end up with these huge lists or databases, as I call them, of stuff that I will then have to, you know, make further episodes out of. Because yeah. I think, okay, I'll make a list of jokes, and then I'll like, how many minutes are we on?
An hour and 15.
An hour and 15, we're going to stop it.
That's 10 phrases in an hour and 15 is disgraceful.
Well, it's one phrase per...
For an English learning podcast, Luke, what is this? How can you call yourself an English learning podcast when you've taught people 10 phrases and me about 11?
But I think, to be honest, Paul Taylor, that you know, they get more than just the 10 phrases, don't
they?
They
get the English.
There's a hell of a lot of added value in there. Because see, if this was just about teaching people 10 phrases,
it would be boring.
I think it wouldn't be as good, would it?
No,
it's got to. You've got to get add in all of the fluff, all of the sort of nonsense banter, to make it hopefully an enjoyable experience. If anyone out there is still listening, I imagine that there are like people around the world sleeping. Like they've fallen asleep, maybe behind the wheel of a car, I don't know, and they're falling asleep and this is going on and no one's listening. I imagine like a, you know, like a train carriage full of people all asleep, or some person on their sofa, you know, just drunk and asleep because during the episode they were drinking just to try and maintain levels of hope. And by this point, I imagine most people are just asleep or passed out somewhere.
I think I have a phrase. What are these called again?
What?
Set phrases? No.
Fixed phrases. Fixed. I'm calling them fixed phrases.
I have a fixed phrase to end the show that sums up what's just happened here.
Uh-huh.
Is that we really like to beat around the bush.
Yes. Yeah, we do like to beat around the bush. Sometimes what happens, Paul, is I get the wrong end of the stick and then I start to beat around the bush with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, I've somehow managed to cause a couple of woodcocks to come flying out of the bush too early and I've really cocked it up.
Mm.
And... you know, it's it just shows, doesn't it? There's a very fine line between clever and stupid, as was once famously said. And you know, I think ultimately,
as I was beating around the bush the other day, I found a bad egg.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's not how you use that expression.
Your face is amazing.
I'm still not convinced you've got that. You just found a bad egg? You mean
I did literally find a bad egg. I was just making a joke.
I thought you meant like you found a person who was like sitting
He'd
in the
been
hedge.
Expelled from school because he was a bad egg.
Some bad person who was sitting in the
we
hedge.
We thought he was a shoo-in, but it turned out to be a bad egg. Way, there we go.
I think it's time to end this episode of the podcast. Paul Taylor, how does it feel to have appeared on another episode of Luke's English?
It feels great, and I actually learned some stuff, which is great. Hope you guys learned a lot as well. And keep tuning in to Luke's English podcast. As I said before, tell your friends about the Facebook page. We need more than 10,000 likes because Luke said that he didn't want to be a flash in the frying pan.
A
flash in the pan. He wants to make this not an overnight success. So like the page.
It's impossible for it to be an overnight success now. It's been going for 6 years.
All right.
But anyway, I was just clarifying.
Yeah, they often say an overnight success takes... somebody was like, oh, he was an overnight success. Yeah, but it took 5 years.
Right.
Which they often say about like either new actors, new comedians that come out, new anything that's new singers. They're like, oh, he's an overnight success, like Miley Cyrus, overnight success. She was doing a lot of music before that, and same with all the rest of it.
Right.
Anyway, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on, Paul. And thank you very much, everyone, for listening to the episode. It's time to end it, but I will speak to you again soon. So, goodbye. Bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.